Let me go to the Lord, a word of prayer, and then we'll just get into our message. Father, you've surely been good to us, and I thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight rightly divide your word. And I pray that this message would be used for your glory and honor. I pray that it would encourage us in spending time in your word, reminding us, Lord, how much we need you when we take time to read your word. And I pray that would come out. Help me with any examples I need to give that would help people to understand. And we ask to Jesus in your precious name. Amen. So as we're continuing our study, we're down to Psalms 33. I'll probably go from Psalms 33 to verse 40. It's kind of, there's different sections of eight verses. And so I've been looking at that. And usually those eight verses have, there's some kind of theme or something that the psalmist, I believe it was David, is trying to bring out. But again, what you'll see is almost every verse that's in this Bible is the very words of God. But in this chapter, almost every verse, other than a few, haven't got there yet, have something of God's word in it. You see that in verse 33, you know, the way or the statutes, verse 34, the law, verse 35, commandments, verse 36, testimonies, verse 37, thy way, verse 38 is thy word, verse 39 are judgments, verse 40, where is it, precepts. So you could see that. So almost every verse, well, actually every verse so far we've gone, as we get through verse 40, has the word of God or something reference to the word of God that's in it. So look here at verse 33. It says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. What you're going to find in this section is David, the psalmist, has a desire for the word of God. He wants to understand God's word. Now, he didn't have the completed word of God. We are blessed that we have the very words of God, as in completed word of God. They had a portion of it, right? And he was blessed as a king. He could go and see a copy. And God even told the kings they were supposed to get a copy of it and make a copy while they sat on the throne, make a copy of it. So that way they would know what is in it. And here it is, he's saying, even though this desire at the end, he says, I shall keep it unto the end, this desire to keep God's word. But he starts off and says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Here it is, he's asking the Lord to teach him. He had a desire for God's word, but he understood that it's going to take God to help to teach him. When you come to this Bible, you have to realize this is a spiritual book. This is the very words of God. And because it's God's word, when you pick up your Bible and read it in the morning, but before you do that, the reality is you should spend time in prayer. And one of the things that you do in prayer is make sure you confess your sins. Make sure if there's anything that you have done or need to take care of, you ask the Lord to forgive you, because that way you take care of your sin before you go to Scripture. Also, the next thing that you should do, and again, it doesn't have to be in this order, right? It could be other things. It's best to, as the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, but it's the Lord's Prayer people refer to. You know, you thank Him for who He is. But the other thing that you would do is ask Him, say, Lord, help me to learn. Lord, help me to understand Your Word. That's the next point. We'll get to that. But help me to teach me. I want to learn something today as I'm reading Your Word. You know, sometimes we go through the Bible and sometimes we may read too fast. My reading comprehension is low. It really is low. Sometimes I have, if I pick up a book and read it, sometimes I'll pick it up and I may have to read it a couple times. You know, it's just, ugh. And so maybe that's why I don't read too much other than the Bible. I enjoy reading the Bible. But my reading comprehension is low. And sometimes when I'm reading things, it's just, you know. Here it is, when I go to the Bible, I want the Lord to teach me. I want to make sure I'm rightly dividing the Scripture. And here is that was his desire. Lord, show me. Show me what's right. Show me what's wrong. You know, teach me this. Look what the Bible says over here to come back to Psalms. But over here to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you look here at verse 13 and 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So here it is, as Paul, God told Paul what to write. Here it is, he's telling us how the Holy Spirit will teach us, right? I think in the book of John, it talks about this, that we have the anointing that's in us that teaches us. Jesus told his disciples while he walked on the earth, I think it was around John chapter 14, that when the Holy Spirit came, he would teach them in all things, right? He would direct them and teach them. So the reality is this, we need God to help us to teach us. Now, he's not saying that you don't need a pastor. He's not saying that we don't need teachers, right? Of, you know, like Sunday school class and things to that nature. He's not referring to that. But the reality is, when you're alone with God, we need God to help us. When you're reading your Bible, what is your goal when you read the Bible? Is it just to say, I read a chapter? Or is it you really want to learn something? Glean from it. Well, the truth is, if you want to glean from it, ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to teach you something from His Word. And spend your time. You know, as you maybe get older, maybe your memory is not as good as what it used to be. And, you know, maybe you have to go a little bit slower when you read. Or maybe you have to read it twice. I don't know. Maybe three times. But the desire should be that you want to learn. Learn what's here. And here it is. He's talking about this and he's asking the Lord, "Lord, teach me." So if you go back here to Psalms 119, in Psalms 119, so again, if you think about this, he's given requests to God. His first request in verse 33 is talking about to teach me. So he's talking about the Word of God. He's asking God to teach me. And now look what he says in verse 34. He says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Now it's interesting. Now he's going to the second request that he has in this section here. "Give me understanding." Now there's a difference between being taught and have an understanding. Let me try to explain it to you. Remember when you went back to math class, or Ariana, she's in math class, and maybe you learned the concept about algebra for the first time, and they use variables, right? So it's kind of, you have, with math, that now they use numbers, right? Use X and Y, and they may have A and B and C that's in it. Did I say something wrong?
Or,
You're using numbers, but then they use letters, whatever. So anyway, see, it even confuses me now. Amen. But they can show you the formula. So they teach you A squared plus B squared equals C squared. So they teach you that. You may know that, right? As in, you know that's the formula. But do you really understand what that's for? You know? So a lot of times when you think about when we come to the very words of God, we want God to teach us, but we also want God to give us the understanding. There's been times where I have put together something or tried to put something together, and sometimes I'll go through the instructions, I'll read it, and I'll be like, "What? That doesn't make sense." And then I may ask Debbie and say, "Debbie, can you read this for me? What do you think they're saying?" And Debbie will read and she'll be like, "Well, I think this is what they're saying, that this here should go here," whatever, right? And it's, what is she doing? She's helping me. I read it. I got it. So, but now she's helping me to understand what was the instructions. And after you understand the instructions, then you understand it. You can put it together, right? Here is the psalmist. Is asking the Lord, the first request is saying, "Lord, to teach me." And now he's saying, "Lord, give me understanding. I just don't want to know these facts of, Noah and Moses and Daniel and the 12 disciples and, you know, the books of the Bible and about the flood, you know. But I want to understand. I want to get a little bit more. I want to know the meat of it." I don't know if you thought about this morning when I was preaching on where it talked about in Deuteronomy, I think it was verse in chapter 21 or chapter 27, I can't remember which one it was, that when the person that was that died was on a tree, and then they had to bury him that day. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but it had to be that day so that way the land wasn't defiled. And then you think about Jesus Christ, amen, dying on the cross, and they had to bury him. He was buried that day, amen. And you could look at that. You know, sometimes you may read something and say, hey, this is what it says. But isn't it a blessing when you get the understanding? You know? You see the pictures of, remember, went through the types of, and they were talking about the priest, when the priest would sin, that priest would take that animal and carry that animal out to a place. So he had to take the shame, knowing that he sinned, and he would take that animal, the sacrifice, and take it outside of the camp that was there. And it was a picture of Christ. It wasn't Jesus that sinned, but it was the high priest, Jesus, right? Taking our sins, bearing our shame, going outside the camp. Can I tell you, sometimes when you read that, you could tell someone and say, hey, this is what it says. But what a blessing it is when you understand that. When you understand, because when you understand it, then you know what you can do? Then you can start teaching someone and try to get them to understand what the Scripture was saying. I think when Chris this morning, he was saying how he really enjoyed the message. And he said, I wish some other people were here that they could hear that. You know, he was saying, I think he said like three other people. And John said, but you know what you heard? You can go tell them, right? Folks, can I tell you, that's it. You know, you learn, understand it, and go share. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, give me understanding. Why did he want understanding? He says, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Lord, I want to know your word, but I want to understand it. I want to grasp it. So that way, when you say, hey, thou shalt not, I got it. I understand what you're teaching, but I understand the importance of why. Why it will hurt me. Sometimes you think about it when you're growing up, your parents had rules or whatever you want to define it as. And you may not have understood those quote-unquote rules. My parents, I can't believe they have rules or whatever it is. And then you get older and what you realize, thank God for those rules that they had. Amen? What were they doing? They were trying to help me. They were trying to protect me. They were watching out for me. They were putting down some guardrails and saying, hey, I'm trying to keep you safe. But when you're first learning them, you may not understand, what's the point of this? But when you understand it, then you got it. After I got saved, I remember going to my parents and telling them, I'm so sorry. How I lived growing up before I got saved. And, you know, I told him that. I wish, there's sometimes in my life, I know you can't go back, but I wish that, you know, I'd have been saved at an early age, and then I could just been different, amen, and live for God. But I know that's not what happened in my life. But the reality is, I understand. Here it is. That was his desire. And his desire to understand was so that we can keep the God's word. And his desire was to do it with my whole heart. Is that our desire? To keep God's word with their whole heart? Some people don't. Some people just do it because they have to do it. Some people come to church, that's just a reason. Some people came to church because they were druggies. You know what I mean? Not druggies, but parents brought them in, and they came in. Some come because it's just what I got to do, right? Then there's others that come because they want to be here. Amen? I'm telling you, I was really gave joy in my heart last Wednesday when I looked at the time and I said, well, I have one more point, and I think Chris said, I could stay here for a long time, amen? And it's a blessing to preach where people want to hear, amen, and learn from it. But here is, he's talking about this understanding. Understanding, is that their desire? So when you pray, you ask the Lord and say, Lord, help me to read your word that I can learn from it, but give me understanding with it. Allow me to see you in this chapter as I read it. Allow me to see someone in my life that I may be doing that I shouldn't be. And allow me to see it, or allow me to see a principle you want to teach me today. Lord, I don't know what it is you want to teach me. Show me something in your word that I can understand. And when you grasp that, what a blessing it is. But you know what we're seeing here in just in a few chapters? His desire is to serve God, but he knows, Mark, he can't do it on his own. You know? His desire, Job, is to read the Word of God, but he knows he's not going to get anything unless God helps him. And it goes on, look at verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Here it is. He's talking about, Lord, you're going to teach me. Lord, you're going to give me understanding. So this way I know where to go. And now what is he saying? Here's the next request. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. You may think, well, if he delights, then why is he asking to help him to go in those paths? You know why? Because he's just like you and me. Even though at that time they didn't have the Holy Spirit dwell in them, the reality is David was a believer. And David was a believer, but he also had a sin nature. And because David had a sin nature, we could see in the Bible, it's clear there. There were times David had a desire to do what's right. And what was it? That flesh. David didn't do what was right. If you are saved, you have a desire in your heart to do what's right. One of the things of being born again is there's a desire you want to do what's right. Doesn't mean you always do what's right, but you want to do what's right. You want to keep God's word, but not every time I do keep God's word. So when the psalmist is saying this, we can clearly understand and apply it to our life. Where he says, for therein do I delight. I delight in your word, Lord. I want to do it. However, first part, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. I can't do it on my own. I can't walk the way that you want me to walk. I can't walk this path of righteousness, even though I have a desire on my own. Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to guide me. I need you to keep me on that straight and narrow, that way to walk for you. And he says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. When we take time and pray, do you ever take time and pray and ask the Lord, bring a request to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for, you know, teaching me your word. Thank you for giving me understanding. Lord, can you help me? I can't say pray every time, but I'm sure probably most times, if not all times, that I've prayed, you know, like in the morning for my devotional. I'll ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help me with my job. Lord, help me with raising Ariana. Lord, help me to in my marriage. Lord, help me as a pastor. You know, I need help. I may have a desire, but the reality is this: I can't do it on my own. As Miss Elma was saying, you know, she's talking about going through a trial. She said it's a blessing. No, I'm not alone. I'm glad I'm not alone. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, even though I'm not alone, if I'm being stubborn, if I'm putting myself on the throne room of my heart, you know, God will allow me to go that path, even if it's the wrong one. Now, I'm not alone. He's still there. But the reality is he'll chasten me and say, what are you doing? You're going down that way. Why are you going that way? And then, what is it? You start getting in a fight, right? But sometimes we can be dumb, amen? It's like we're fighting God and saying, but I know what I'm doing. I'm going this way, right? I mean, who are you fighting? You're fighting God, amen? I mean, we're being dumb, amen? But anyway, what is it? The psalmist is asking, saying, Lord, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. When you're struggling and you're saying, I'm having a hard time, David did too. Your preacher does also. Everyone that's in this room, we all struggle. We need God. Amen? And when you realize that and surrender and say, Lord, I have a desire in my heart, but I know I can't do it without you, then you rest assured, amen, God will help you. Amen? So we could see that. He says, make me, right? What do we see now is, we continue on verse 36, incline, I think I got that. That word incline means to cause to yield, right? To cause to yield. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. So it's kind of a adding on to the last verse that we read. He said, incline or cause to yield my heart unto thy testimonies. As we're walking that path, what is it? Our flesh says, hey, go that way. Amen? And the Spirit says, no, you go that way. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, incline my heart. Lord, help my heart. Turn my heart that I will go that way. That I will yield to your path. Look at the Bible says, you keep your finger there over to the book of Romans. I believe it's Romans chapter 6. Keep your finger in Psalms. Look over here to Romans chapter 6. To incline or to yield, to cause to yield. In Romans chapter 6, and we'll go back to Psalms here. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Amen. I mean, we have a sin nature. Stop feeding it. Amen. There's a lot of people that feed their sin nature. Amen. Stop feeding your sin nature. And look what he says, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. Right? What was he saying? Yield. Don't yield unto sin, but yield unto God. Amen? Now, when we read to the psalmist and said, incline my heart, what he's saying is, Lord, I know you don't want me to go that way. That's my sin nature. I know you want me to go this way, and my desire is to go this way. But Lord, will you help me to go this way? Will you help me to yield my heart? You know, that we should have that desire, and that should be in our minds constantly. You know? Constantly in our minds. To yield, right? I want to do what's right, but Lord, I know I need your help. So if you go back here to Psalms 119, in Psalms 119, where we see that in verse 36, Psalms 119, verse 36, he says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Lord, lead my heart to do your will, not my will. Lord, lead me to the things that you desire and not those fleshly lusts or those things I could covet. Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, lead me in your path. You know what that is? That's a surrendering. That's a surrendering to the Lord. It's a surrendering and saying, Lord, thy will be done. Sometimes we struggle with that. Some things, and have you noticed in your Christian life, some things are easier than other things? But there's some things that are harder. Those things that are harder, it's kind of like, I think, Hebrews chapter 12, where he talks about the sin which easily besets you. But there's some things we don't really battle those. But other things we really battle. Can I tell you what we need to do is ask the Lord, say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me with that. Maybe someone just recently got saved and maybe they have a hard time with their tongue. Or maybe they're saved and what? They've been hanging around with people that say some bad words and now you're catching yourself saying things that you shouldn't say. And maybe you're struggling. Well, the best thing to do is ask the Lord to help you. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to think before I speak, you know. And that, say, Lord, train me. Do whatever it is that I don't want to do that. Amen. Look what the Bible says. If we go back here to verse 37. He says, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way." So now he's bringing the next request. What is this? Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. The things that don't mean things. The things that are empty. The things that are nothing, right? I used to love baseball. Still like baseball, right? And my team's not doing too good this year, but that's all right. But there's times where my team, we're getting close to like the maybe 7th, 8th, 9th inning, you know. And around 9 o'clock every night, Lord willing, almost every night, unless there's something else that comes up, I always go downstairs to spend time with God. I do in the morning. I like to do it at night. And I like to go down and spend some time in prayer and spend time reading the Bible. And trying to find memory verses to memorize and try to put them into my brain. And the older I get, sometimes, maybe a little harder that's there. You know, and there's sometimes that my baseball team is playing, right? Lord, turn my heart to these, not from the from these vanity things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with baseball, right? But spending time with God is a lot better. Amen? So again, here it is. He's saying these things that don't mean anything, right? It amazes me, the people, how much time and effort they'll spend on things that doesn't mean anything. Just doesn't mean anything. There's some people, when I was younger, you could have told me a baseball player, I'd probably told you stats, how many home runs, and all the things of them, right? You know, can you imagine you have a preacher that can tell the stats of every single thing, but I couldn't quote a single scripture? I would just, you know, my mind would be on things that don't matter, right? Again, I'm not against baseball. You know, I like baseball. That's what he's saying. He said, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, the things that don't matter, right? He wasn't saying that can't watch baseball. They didn't have baseball back in those days. But what was it? He says, and quicken thou me in the way. Anything that's going to take me away from you. Lord, I want to go this way. When I can't remember if I got saved. It may have been right before I got saved. But I started to go to church again. So it may have been right before I got saved, I think it was. And as soon as I start to go to church, so, you know, God was drawing me to Him. They were starting up where I was living. They were starting up a baseball team again. And they knew I was in town. So the guy came to my house and said, hey, we want you to pitch for our team again. Or pitch for our team. Would you do that? We'd love to have you, you know. And I was like, I don't know. And the guy that my friend, it was his house. He allowed me to rent a room in his place. He's like, yeah, why don't you do that? And then I was thinking, yeah, why don't I do that? So that's what I did. I figured, you know, I'll just go back and start to play baseball again. Can I tell you that could have easily drew me away from the Lord? Now, I wasn't saved. What I mean by it, could have easily drew me away from being saved. What a blessing that I had shoulder problems. That I went back, it was probably all the arthritis built up in my shoulder. That I went back and tried to pitch and I was like, ugh! Every time I threw a ball, it was like it hurt. I had to throw like sidearm or whatever it was. But anyway, what a blessing. Amen. But can I tell you, sometimes the devil can use the smallest things. Here it is, he's saying, when he talks about this, the turn, then he says what? Where am I? Quicken, that means to revive me in thy way. Lord, help me stay in your path. Help me not to lose sight. Help me to stay focused on what you want me to do. Look at verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devout to thy fear. The word establish means to fix or to settle. That word devout means to vow, wholly given to. Here it is, it says, establish or affix thy word unto thy servant. Help me to get it settled in my heart. Help it to be grounded in my heart where I know what it says and I don't move. But do you see every single verse so far we've been going through here? It's been a request to God. Helping, God help me. God help me of learning your word. God help me to understand. God help me to stay in your path. God help me not to move. Lord, establish. Get me grounded, right? Who is devoted to thy fear. He had a desire. You're going to have a desire for God. But don't lose. The reality is you need God to help you. You're going to lose that desire unless you ask God to keep on helping you. Because you may have a desire, but if you're trying to do it in your own power, you're going to fall every time. And you're going to get to the place and say, what's the use? Not knowing the reason you're falling is because you're relying on yourself and not God. God's allowing you to fall. Why? Because you're not trusting Him. He's trying to teach you. And instead of... Remember in the Old Testament when Joshua... They were going to Ai, and as they were going into Ai, the people asked him, it says, hey, how many people should we take to Ai? And he's like, oh, that's not a big place. You only need to take X amount of people. I can't remember how it was. And they went into Ai, and what happened? Because Achan's sin, they got there was a couple, I forget how many died. I think it was like 30-some people that died. Israel, you know, fled from them. And when Joshua was standing there, next thing you know, he sees the men of Israel running this way. And he's like, what happened? And then Joshua was like, he goes to the Lord. And it was kind of like, God, what happened? You allowed, I thought we were going to win. And now we're losing. Right? And I can't remember the exact words God used, but He was kind of like, hey, grow up! There's sin in the camp. Sometimes in our life, we act like that of Joshua, right? Yeah, what's going on? I can't believe... Not like you're drunk or whatever, but... Well, you're relying on yourself. Stop relying on yourself. Amen? He goes on and says, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are... good. That word reproach means disgrace or shame. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Lord, I don't want to sin against you. Lord, I don't want to be ashamed. Maybe David thought about, maybe this was written after he committed the adultery. And Lord, that was a horrible feeling. I never want to have that feeling again. Well, can I tell you, when we sin, there should be that a sorrow that's in our heart of saying, what did I do? Lord, I am so sorry. If you get to that place in your life where you sin and it's like, it's nothing. Can I tell you, you need to get right. You need to get back to that place and say, Lord, what have I done? Amen. We need to get back to the place of understanding what sin is. And that's what the psalmist says. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Lord, I know your word is true. I know your word is good. Lord, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to sin against you and help me. And then he says in verse 40, behold, I have longed thy precepts. See, you read that verse and thinking, hey, he didn't ask to request. But then he does. Quicken me in thy righteousness. He closed it out by what? Asking a request. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Lord, give me that desire, that fire again that's in my heart for righteousness. He says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. My desire is for your word. Lord, my desire is to be taught. My desire is for you to show me understanding. My desire is for you to keep me on that path. My desire is for you to help me to yield to you and not to sin. I want to keep on going. That's my thing. But he says, quicken me in thy righteousness. I know I can't do it without you. Let me ask you this evening, have you been maybe recently in your walk with the Lord Maybe you've been taking it for granted. Or maybe in your walk with the Lord, maybe you're moving away from where God wants you to be. Maybe in your daily devotion time, where it used to be something you just longed for, but now it's just more of getting like a chore. Maybe in your walk, you've been falling a little bit more. Maybe you've been noticing sin's been coming in more. Well, let me ask you, as you go through here and you see every verse, David saying something, Lord, teach me. Give me understanding. Help me to yield. Maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight, and maybe that would be you to say, you know, Lord, that's what I need. Lord, I need help. Lord, I've been moving over. Lord, I need to come back. Or Lord, I've been reading your word, but I'm not getting anything out of it like I used to. Lord, help me. Help me to take my time through it as I go through and really study and really... Maybe that would be you tonight. If you know, if God spoke to your heart, the best thing to do is to do something about it. Don't push it off to the side, but do something about it. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given to preach your word. And I pray tonight that this message would encourage us and help us in our walk with you. Lord, I'm going to do a little time of invitation, and I pray that people would respond as you have dealt on their heart. We ask in Jesus' precious name.